The year is 1789. Paris is a maelstrom of revolutionary fervor. The Bastille has fallen, monarchy trembles, and the cry of liberty, equality, fraternity echoes through cobbled streets. This moment, this seismic shift in human history, did not just reshape a nation. It birthed and amplified ideas that would ripple across centuries, forging the very bedrock of modern governance. Before this tumultuous era, political thought was largely tethered to divine right or inherited power. But the Enlightenment, with its relentless focus on reason and individual autonomy, had laid the intellectual groundwork for a new world, a world where governments derived their legitimacy not from God, but from the governed. In this new world, three formidable currents of thought emerged: liberalism, conservatism, and socialism. These are not static doctrines, etched in stone and impervious to time. No, they are living, breathing frameworks, evolving with every generation, adapting to new challenges, and often clashing with each other in the perpetual struggle for the ideal society. To understand modern politics, to truly grasp why nations make the choices they do, why societies organize themselves in particular ways, we must delve into the heart of these ideologies. They are the lenses through which we interpret the world, the maps we use to navigate the complex terrain of human aspirations and collective action. Consider liberalism, an ideology born from the very spirit of that revolutionary age. At its core, liberalism champions the individual. Imagine a world where your birthright doesn't dictate your destiny, where your voice matters, and where the state exists not to dominate you, but to protect your inherent freedoms. This vision, radical in its time, was the engine of liberalism. It emerged from thinkers like John Locke, who articulated the concept of natural rights, life, liberty, and property as inherent to every human being, not granted by any monarch. For Locke and his intellectual heirs, government was a social contract, a voluntary agreement among individuals to protect these rights, and if a government failed in this duty, the people had the right to alter or abolish it. This was a profound departure from millennia of hierarchical rule. Early liberalism, which we now often call classical liberalism, was particularly concerned with negative liberty. This isn't liberty in the sense of being negative, but rather freedom from interference. Think of it as an empty space, a sphere of personal autonomy where the individual can act without obstruction from the state or other individuals. Adam Smith, the Scottish economist, applied this principle to the economy. He argued that if individuals were free to pursue their own economic interests in a competitive marketplace, guided by an invisible hand, society as a whole would prosper. This notion of laissez-faire, allowing things to take their own course, without intervention, became a cornerstone of classical liberal economic thought. Government's role was minimal: protect property, enforce contracts, and defend the realm. Any more intervention, it was believed, would stifle innovation, distort markets, and ultimately infringe upon individual liberty. The emphasis was on civil and political rights, freedom of speech, assembly, religion, and the right to vote. The aim was to dismantle the old aristocratic privileges and create a society where merit, not birth, determined success, and where everyone was equal before the law. However, the unbridled capitalism fostered by classical liberalism, while unleashing unprecedented economic growth, also led to immense social upheaval. The Industrial Revolution, a period of breathtaking technological advancement, simultaneously created sprawling urban slums, exploitative labor practices, and vast disparities in wealth. Children toiled in factories, workers faced brutal conditions, and entire families lived in abject poverty, while industrialists amassed colossal fortunes. It became increasingly clear to many that simply being free from interference did not guarantee a life of dignity or opportunity for all. A worker free to starve was not truly free, many began to argue. This growing recognition of social and economic inequalities gave rise to a new strain of thought within liberalism: modern liberalism, or social liberalism. Figures like T.H. Green and later John Maynard Keynes challenged the notion that true liberty could flourish in the absence of basic social and economic security. They introduced the concept of positive liberty, freedom to do something, to realize one's potential, to live a flourishing life. This required more than just freedom from interference. It demanded active intervention by the state to create the conditions for genuine opportunity. If someone is too sick to work, too uneducated to find employment, or too poor to afford basic necessities, their negative liberty, their freedom from interference, feels hollow. Therefore, modern liberals argued, the state has a legitimate role in providing education, healthcare, social safety nets, and regulating the economy to mitigate its harsher excesses. The welfare state, a hallmark of many modern democracies, with its universal healthcare systems, public education, and social insurance, is a direct legacy of this evolution within liberal thought. It represents a pragmatic attempt to balance individual freedom with collective well-being, acknowledging that sometimes government action is necessary to empower individuals and ensure a fairer society. This dynamic tension between negative and positive liberty, between individual freedom and social responsibility, remains a central, often contentious, debate within liberalism itself and across the broader political landscape. Now, let us turn our gaze to conservatism, an ideology that often emerges as a countercurrent to radical change, a voice of caution in the face of revolutionary fervor. While liberalism often looks forward, embracing progress and questioning tradition, conservatism tends to look backward, valuing what has endured, what has been tested by time. The French Revolution, that same convulsion that catalyzed liberal ideals, also served as a crucible for modern conservative thought. Edmund Burke, an Irish statesman and philosopher, watching the unfolding chaos across the Channel, penned his famous reflections on the revolution in France. He argued passionately that society was not a machine to be dismantled and reassembled according to abstract rational principles. Instead, he saw it as an organic entity, a delicate tapestry woven over generations, with customs, institutions, and traditions representing the accumulated wisdom of the past. To tear it all down in pursuit of a utopian ideal was not just foolish. He warned, it was dangerous, risking tyranny and social disintegration. Tradition, therefore, is a bedrock principle of conservatism. This isn't tradition for tradition's sake, but rather a profound respect for established customs and institutions, a belief that they embody valuable lessons learned through experience. Conservatives are often skeptical of grand, sweeping reforms, preferring instead gradual, incremental change that respects the existing social fabric. They believe that societal progress is best achieved by building upon what works, rather than by tearing it down and starting anew. This reverence for the past often extends to established hierarchies and social order. Many conservatives believe that society thrives when there is a clear sense of order, authority, and duty, often emphasizing the importance of institutions like the family, religious organizations, and community associations in maintaining social cohesion. They frequently prioritize stability and security over radical transformation, fearing that rapid change can lead to instability and moral decay. While some conservative strands might advocate for a strong state in matters of law, order, and national defense, many also share with classical liberals a suspicion of extensive government intervention in the economy. They often champion private property rights, free markets, and lower taxes, believing these to be essential for economic prosperity and individual responsibility. This particular blend of economic liberalism and social conservatism is especially prominent in neoliberal conservatism, sometimes referred to as the New Right, which gained significant traction in the late 20th century. Here, the pursuit of economic freedom, often defined as freedom from government regulation and taxation, is combined with a desire to uphold traditional moral values and social norms. However, conservatism is not monolithic. A fiscal conservative might prioritize balanced budgets and deregulation, while a social conservative might focus on issues like family values, religious freedom, and public morality, sometimes even advocating for government intervention to uphold these values. The conservative landscape is broad, encompassing various emphases and priorities, reflecting its pragmatic nature and its tendency to adapt while holding fast to core principles of tradition, order, and cautious change. Whether it's advocating for national sovereignty, defending established institutions, or promoting individual responsibility, conservatism continually seeks to preserve what it sees as valuable from the past for the benefit of the future. acting as a crucial break on what it perceives as reckless experimentation. Finally, we arrive at socialism, an ideology born from a searing critique of capitalism's inequalities and an impassioned plea for a more just and cooperative society. If liberalism championed individual liberty and conservatism valued tradition, socialism, in its myriad forms, places social equality and collective well-being at its zenith. The seeds of socialist thought were sown in the early 19th century, as the stark realities of industrial capitalism with its factory floors, child labor, and extreme poverty began to challenge the prevailing belief that unrestrained markets would lead to universal prosperity. Early thinkers like Robert Owen, sometimes called a utopian socialist, envisioned ideal communities built on cooperation and shared resources, demonstrating that it was possible to organize society in a more equitable way. However, it was Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels who transformed socialism into a formidable intellectual and political force with their scientific socialism in the mid-19th century. They argued that history was a story of class struggle, a relentless conflict between the exploiters, the bourgeoisie, who owned the means of production, and the exploited, the proletariat, the working class. Capitalism, they asserted, was inherently unjust, alienating, and prone to crises, inevitably concentrating wealth in fewer and fewer hands while immiserating the vast majority. For Marx, the only way to achieve true liberation and equality was through a revolutionary overthrow of the capitalist system, leading to a temporary dictatorship of the proletariat, and eventually to communism, a stateless, classless society where the means of production were communally owned and resources were distributed from each according to his ability to each according to his needs. This vision was profoundly revolutionary, advocating for a complete transformation of society's economic and political structures. Yet, as the 19th century drew to a close and the 20th century began, a different path for socialism emerged, particularly in democratic countries, democratic socialism or social democracy. This strain rejected the revolutionary violence advocated by Marxists, opting instead to achieve socialist goals through democratic means, working within existing parliamentary systems. Thinkers like Eduard Bernstein argued for gradual reform rather than revolution, believing that capitalism could be humanized and made to serve the common good through legislation, strong trade unions, and electoral politics. Democratic socialists aimed not to abolish capitalism entirely, but to tame its excesses and redistribute its benefits more equitably. This meant advocating for policies like universal healthcare, public education, social security, progressive taxation where the wealthy pay a higher percentage of their income in taxes, and robust labor laws. They envisioned a mixed economy, where both state and private enterprise played significant roles, but where the state actively intervened to ensure social welfare, reduce inequality, and provide a safety net for all citizens. The impact of democratic socialism on modern governance is undeniable, especially in Western Europe. The welfare states of Scandinavia, Germany, and the United Kingdom, with their comprehensive social services and strong worker protections, are living testaments to the influence of social democratic ideas. These systems represent a profound compromise, blending capitalist economic dynamism with socialist commitments to equality and collective well-being. They demonstrate that it is possible to maintain a market economy while simultaneously ensuring that no one falls through the cracks, that basic human needs are met, and that society strives for a greater degree of fairness. However, the exact balance between market forces and state provision, between individual initiative and collective responsibility, remains a continuous point of debate, even within social democratic movements themselves. The critique of capitalism, the pursuit of equality, and the belief in human cooperation remain the enduring hallmarks of socialism. Whether achieved through revolutionary upheaval or gradual democratic reform, it is tempting, and indeed common, to arrange these three ideologies, liberalism, conservatism, and socialism, along a simple left-right spectrum. Typically, socialism is placed on the far left, liberalism in the center-left, and conservatism on the right. This spectrum offers a useful shorthand suggesting that the left prioritizes equality and collective action, while the right emphasizes individual liberty and tradition. However, this neat linearity, while convenient, often oversimplifies a much more intricate reality. The problem with a single spectrum is that these ideologies are not one-dimensional. Each encompasses a vast internal diversity, with different factions emphasizing distinct aspects of their core principles. For instance, within conservatism, a fiscal conservative might push for minimal government spending and deregulation, echoing classical liberal economic tenets, while a social conservative might advocate for significant government intervention to enforce traditional moral values, which could be seen as an expansive role for the state. Similarly, within liberalism, the gulf between a classical liberal advocating minimal state intervention and a modern liberal championing a robust welfare state is substantial. Even within socialism, the chasm between revolutionary Marxism and reformist social democracy is immense, reflecting radically different views on how to achieve a more equal society and the very nature of the state itself. Moreover, these ideologies are not hermetically sealed units. They overlap and influence one another in surprising ways. For example, the idea of universal healthcare, once a radical socialist demand, has been adopted, albeit with different funding models and scopes, by liberal and even some conservative parties in various countries. The emphasis on private property, central to both classical liberalism and conservatism, forms a complex relationship with socialist calls for collective ownership. The historical context also deeply shapes how these ideologies manifest. What is considered liberal in the United States, often implying a strong welfare state and government regulation, might be called social democratic in Europe, where liberal often refers to economic liberalism closer to classical liberal thought. The labels themselves are fluid, shifting with time and geography. Ultimately, political beliefs are far more complex than a single left-right line can capture. One can be economically conservative but socially liberal, supporting free markets but advocating for LGBTQ+ rights. One could be a nationalist, a sentiment often associated with conservatism, while simultaneously supporting universal healthcare, a policy typically linked with socialism. The modern political landscape is increasingly defined by these multidimensional intersections, where environmental policy, identity politics, and global economic forces introduce new axes of debate that defy simple categorization. The sustainability of the welfare state, the tension between national sovereignty and global interconnectedness, and the role of identity in shaping political demands are all contested grounds where these ideologies clash and adapt. Understanding liberalism, conservatism, and socialism is not just an academic exercise, it is essential for making sense of the world around us. They are the grand narratives that have shaped our laws, our economies, and our social structures. They provide the fundamental answers to questions about human nature, the purpose of government, and the meaning of justice. As societies grapple with new challenges from climate change to artificial intelligence, from economic globalization to renewed geopolitical tensions, these enduring ideologies offer different lenses through which to perceive problems and propose solutions. They are dynamic systems of thought, constantly being reinterpreted and challenged, reminding us that the pursuit of the ideal society is an ongoing, ever-evolving human endeavor.